Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Happy New Year! Welcome to the Curb Your Enthusiasm After Show. So much fun to be had.
It's like March.
I am so happy to be here. It's never
happy
too
New
late
Year.
To wish someone a Happy New Year.
I guess not. All right.
Joined, as always, by Lazy Flobo, Lazy James, and Lazy Rachel.
The laziest.
I am Lazy Christian. We are all here talking about the latest episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, episode 8?
Yeah.
Of season 10. There's only 2 left.
Yeah.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready
to say goodbye.
It's been a long
possibly
ride.
Forever, or maybe just another 8 years. We'll see what happens.
I'm not ready to say goodbye to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So. Yes. We do come to work together, Christian.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, it's true. And then that same week, we'll also be finishing up another show that Flobo and I do, and Rachel was on this past week, the Star Trek Picard After Show.
Yeah.
We're ending
yeah.
the same
so
week.
So many endings coming.
I just don't know what I'm going to have to do. Anyway, overall thoughts on this episode. Lazy Rachel, what did you think?
Well, I'm just too lazy to give you my answer.
Fair enough, James.
Same, I'm lazy.
No, Rachel, just overall, big picture.
No, I actually thought it was hilarious.
This was a good one.
Yeah, I actually watched this one at the studio today, and I don't know, Flobo, if you heard me laughing.
I did.
Yeah, but I was laughing.
You're watching different stations because, you know, we have this whole thing where it's like his and hers. No, we're going back and forth and we're watching it, and I just heard you laughing.
There's a virus out there. You guys can't watch it.
I know about that.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, the thing is about this episode, which I was always my big complaint all season was I could see the seams of some of the more weaker episodes, but this one I had no idea what was going. Some of the concepts were new to me, so I was on board.
We'll go through it. There's a couple things that I felt like, all right, that's what's going to happen next, and I was like, oh no, just not at all.
Yeah.
No, so I think that'll be good to discuss. Yes.
I loved John Hamm as Larry David. I think that was my favorite part, hands down, and just the fact like he pretty much nailed Larry. Like.
I like towards the end of the episode, we almost got like a recap of episode 1 where John Hamm as
was,
with the wobbly table and the cough. It was
the
gold.
Gus Van Sant shot by shot remake of the first episode with James Hamm.
James Hamm.
Hey.
And here's what I'm going to say about John Hamm. As a comedian, he's a great drama actor, but I did think that he did a pretty good Larry. I have trouble with this whole idea of John Hamm as comedian. Because he's usually I'm just thinking he's not as funny as he thinks he is.
I mean, here's the thing. I think he's a really good actor.
He's a great actor.
And some of the best actors are the most hilarious people. And I know not all traditional actors can do comedy, but I felt like his timing.
And not all comedians can act.
Yeah,
that's
not
true.
Kevin Hart
pretty well.
Kevin Hart, not much of an actor.
Yeah, he was
cool in Central Intelligence.
John Hamm, though, I thought he was.
He just mentioned Central Intelligence. Anyway, John Hamm.
John Hamm. Yeah,
I'm in the minority on this. It's all right.
No, yeah. I mean, I just thought I thought his timing was pretty on.
Yeah. Did you think it was?
It was good.
I like that it wasn't right away. I like that it built, and then he's getting thrown out of parties like Larry. Again, that's one of the other things. That's one specifically something that I thought I knew where it was going.
Yeah.
I thought by setting up this whole idea of Larry and Cheryl's sister, Cheryl and his friend, Ted Danson, that Cheryl and John Hamm were going to end up together because it's like, you know, the guy pretending to be Larry.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
And then I like that she's just like, nope, too much Larry. Even though he looks like John Hamm, I'm out. which I thought was very
funny. We kind of saw those sparks fly a little bit, too, when I think it was just outside of the newspaper stand.
Yeah, it was.
There was, like, a little vibe going on.
Yeah, it was only
them.
At the newsstand, because the running into them at Jeff and Susie's house was the first time where people were like, ah, shut up, John Hamm. So yeah. I found that to be funny, yeah. just the way that everybody is just treating John Hamm. Like, ah, just get out of here.
Yeah. Like, he legitimately is Larry David Jr.
I think they call him that.
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed too, like before we kind of had that moment between Cheryl and John, we had it with John and Becky. And I thought I thought it was going to turn into Becky and Larry, but then Becky was going to leave Larry for John because John was exactly like him, except
can't blame that. Yeah.
John
Hamm. Yeah. I thought both of those things, like different points in the episode. I'm like, all right, well, we see where that's going. And shout out to the tremendous Caitlin Olsen, as people know from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I thought she was great, and she had not been on in quite some time. And her husband, Rob, who plays Mac on It's Always Sunny, actually had a post about how the first time he ever saw her was before he moved to L.A. It was when she was on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So
really?
He then watched the episode with her last night, and then he made fun of her in the post. So
that was fantastic. As Rob does.
Yeah,
true love, man.
True love.
So let's talk about some of the important things in the course of the episode. We start off talking about something that I had never really thought about, but... you know what? This is a question for everybody, but I am going to start with the men.
What's happening?
Are toes the second most disgusting body part to testicles, Flobo?
Yes.
Okay.
No, enough said. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I have
toes are pretty disgusting.
Yeah, they're up there.
Women's feet, different story, but men's feet are pretty really gross.
Toes are like handwriting. Like, no one's going to say, oh, you have great handwriting. But if it's terrible, you're going to know.
You're getting called out.
I would like to clip out you saying toes are like handwriting, and then we'll make sure that goes viral. Rachel, you do not have to comment on this, but if you would like to, I don't want to leave you out.
I would say yes.
Yeah. I mean, men's, you know, did you ever get a mani-pedi? And it's like, well, of course I've gotten a manicure.
Yeah.
But the idea of, I did let my wife talk me into a pedicure once.
Yeah.
And I hated, it hurt. Yeah. It was painful. I'm like, why is anyone doing this?
I feel the same way. So people can't touch my feet.
Yeah,
people can't.
They get kicked. So no, it's probably not in the benefit.
Your picture is up at salons everywhere. Yeah. It's like Manny, yes, pedicure.
Do you pay people just to kick them later on? She's like, here's $20. No. Whack.
She doesn't kick them until after they finish. Yeah. You want a tip? No. Here's a kick.
Nope. They see me. They say, sorry, we're closed.
Not you again.
Goodbye.
And then this sort of builds on a Jerry Seinfeld theory that I think they addressed on the show, but it's also in his stand-up, the idea of, like, well, you eat at the Chinese restaurant that has the Chinese people in it.
Yeah.
That seems okay. Yeah. But I guess turning to the people of the restaurant, and only Larry has, you know, in the way that only Larry can, I just personally, specifically what I'm talking about is turning to the table of Chinese people and asking them what they ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just like, well, get whatever they get. Now, I think the logical way to do this is if you were going to do that, ask the waiter, like, so what did they get?
Yeah.
Don't actually ask, so what did you guys get?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. What do you think about the concept and Larry's approach to it, Rachel?
It's called Google. You can find out exactly what you're supposed to order and eat. And if you really aren't sure, ask the server. Ask the manager. Ask somebody what their best dish is at the restaurant.
Yeah, is that why the server's there, James?
Yes, as we all know, your boy is a server for many years, and I've had many times people were like, "Yo, like, what's that over there? Like, what's the other thing you know?" Yeah. Like, I totally get that, and that is the proper approach. But turning to someone and opening up a can of worms about like, no,
yeah.
Like like you said, go on Google. Google will not be offended if you ask an offensive question. Just go on Google.
Or to be fair, I have asked Google some very offensive questions, and I've ended up on a few lists.
Okay,
but
now you use Bing. Now he's
only a Bing user. Places to eat. Yes, but I also think that even if it's an American food restaurant, it's a diner, whatever, and there's no, like, racial implications. Even walking over to anyone at a table, like, excuse me, what'd you get? Like, you know, if you might be talking to somebody, you know, any, you know, they ask for the catch up or something, like, hey, by the way, what'd you get? But just randomly asking people, it is a very strange thing to do. Mm-hmm.
When I've been abroad, I haven't done that. I still stick with, you know, like, I don't know, just, it doesn't matter. I still stick with asking whoever's serving me or, mm-hmm. yeah, Google, it works.
Yeah. You're selling out to Google, yo.
Shout out to Google.
Yeah. Thank you, Google, for existing.
Saving lives.
I will
say many times when I eat alone or eat with some friends, I'm always usually alone. Because when someone comes here, I'm like,
you got us, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I'm sitting here tearing into whatever it is, and someone's like, that looks so good. You're like, oh, no, they're judging me from now on. Yeah. So I totally get how awkward.
So is that why you don't want to eat in front of people?
That's true. I usually go to my up the top of a tree and just burrow like a squirrel. Yeah,
just fill his cheeks full of food.
Just have big headphones on. And make
we're the servers, so you need them.
Obviously, there's a lot of things that we will all collectively agree with Larry and the other characters on the show. But a little later in the show, we'll be giving you our Curb Correction Corner, which is the things that we find a little difficult. It's maybe where either Larry or someone else on the show went a little too far, so stay tuned for that. I do want to see what everybody thinks about the business idea that was hatched in this episode. Gotta go. James, what do you think about Gotta Go?
You know, when you really, really think about it, I think there might be something to that.
I think there is,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think we all have had jobs or know people who have jobs like that where you have to stay in a certain place. I would be interested to see like how they would manifest it, because they made it seem like, I think one of the names they pitched was Goober.
Yeah.
I will be interested to see if they like kept it going, how they would like, do you go on the app and like, let me get 6 minutes real quick, come on down to the newsstand. So I thought that was a great idea, and I was happy, and it was funny the way it was implemented as well.
Can we get a version where you're driving and need somebody, because that would be
you want somebody to drive you around?
No, if you're driving and you're on like a 6 or 7 hour trip and there's no bathroom anywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like you're the only one at this table that has that problem, because the rest of us
have
Gatorade bottles.
We just
have to make sure that we don't make the same mistake that Leon did.
He only did it once.
I know, which was great. You know how many times I did that?
Once. Yeah. It's not lemon rush flavor at all. No, the thing is, I always wonder how the practicality of it is, because I get DoorDash, it's like 45 minutes to an hour. How does Uber work, or how does Gotta Go work? Am I just sitting there, or do I have to anticipate where I'm about to go? Like,
I think, you know, if you're somebody that's doing the delivery for one of those services, you know, whether it's Uber Eats or anything that's all, none of them of which are sponsors, then you're going to go to the restaurant to pick something up. I would assume that's when you're going to go. You're not going to, oh, yeah, so here's your food. Mind if I come on in and
pop in there real quick?
What'd you order? Yeah.
You just gave me the idea of eating someone's dinner and then just showing up with the bag. Like, sorry. Yeah. But it was delicious. You should definitely order this next time.
You've inspired me to get this myself.
Look, the app just registers that I got here. The fact that you didn't get your food is
fine. Your problem.
Yeah.
Glad old David.
So we dealt with that. We dealt with the concept of appreciation. Larry doesn't subscribe to the word appreciate, although Richard Lewis did invoke it in his honor. Flobo, what do you think about this concept of, I would really appreciate it? Are you with Larry on the overusage of this word? I would appreciate a quick answer.
We can't get it. No, I'm torn, because like, I understand where he's coming from, because it's definitely a word that's overused now, and you're just like, sure, I bet you do. But a lot of times I think thank you is overused, or thanks, because there's so many snide emails where someone goes, thanks for reading, or as per my last email, thanks. So to say that I really mean it, I'll say I appreciate. So I'm kind of like,
did somebody hurt you with a thank you email?
That's why I eat alone, guys, because I've been hurt too many times.
I appreciate you not eating with me.
Thank you.
So that no one is watching and judging.
Thanks.
I wrote down that it's the new sorry. Because it's basically like, sorry, but, you know, I just stole this from you. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and I've definitely had people point out, like, that, you know, saying I'm sorry, first of all, love means never having to say I'm sorry. But besides that, it's also, I'm glad you like that.
That part.
but the idea that, you know, it's just like, you just sort of reflexively say I'm sorry. You're not actually sorry because you didn't do it. But it's like the shorter version of saying, I'm sorry to hear that you're not having a good day. Just like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
He's like, what else am I going to say? Yeah. Like, all right, now I have to be quiet with what I really wanted to talk to you about, because you're having such a crappy day.
At least we have sorry, not sorry.
Oh, that's true. That's the jam right there.
Yeah. Or If you're in Canada, sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. So we also have the CEO, Richard Lewis's girlfriend, and he definitely looks more sickly than he did last week.
Thank you. I'm definitely, week to week, worried about him.
It's like, did he lose weight?
Yeah.
He should eat everything at the dinner.
I think he had a recent back surgery. I think that's been the reason.
Is that real life?
Or? In real life, okay, yeah,
I
yeah, yeah.
I was like, wait, did I miss like a plot point?
That's not a funny scene at all. back surgery.
I missed the back surgery episode. But the so the CEO, Larry, doesn't like, and then Richard has to come up with the excuse. Bleeding rectum. I mean, there are so many. Like Larry said, like, just call me. I've got a million excuses. And that's a really severe excuse. And Richard then forgets to explain to his girlfriend that, oh, yeah, he's better now. So he's got to sit on the folding chair, and that turns into a whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Rachel, have you ever had to make up an excuse, you know, that is something like, oh, this person doesn't like you, but I don't want to say that, you know? And would you ever have thought, like, well, they don't want you around because they want to talk about their bleeding rectum and they're embarrassed?
No, yeah. That would not be my first thought. It might be something like, oh, I mean, it might be, oh, they're talking about something personal with their health.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
But I wouldn't say
broke
bleeding.
Up with someone you know.
Or like even.
They have a sick relative. This
something ambiguous in like general.
Yeah.
Have a private conversation.
Yeah.
Male talk. Like they could have even just said that and left it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about our feet, and obviously you don't want to hear about that.
Nope.
But who even, like, why bleeding rectum of all the things to just randomly come out?
Because you'll never say, I think you're lying. No, I was like, wait a minute.
That's a great point.
Is it really bleeding?
Yeah. So the bleeding rectum comes up. I didn't know I would say this
so many times in one episode.
Yeah.
You think your mom listening to this? I'm so sorry, Mom.
I'm sorry, Mom.
James's mom?
My mom's is in the chat, and my aunt is in the chat.
Sorry.
Oh no!
So family show.
I love you. Well,
how many times have I said bleeding rectum?
A lot. And she's telling me.
Are they saying that they would like to stop hearing people say bleeding rectum?
Yeah.
Have we said bleeding rectum too many times on this show?
I appreciate it if you stop saying bleeding rectum.
Well, yeah. And we're gonna have to talk about bleeding rectum a couple more times.
We are, because it does tie into sort of the big debate that we had here in the studio. The Lazy Susan.
Oh, yes.
And what were some of the alternative names that you were reading about it, Rachel?
Wow. We can say that. Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to not say this.
Ambiguous Susan.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was one of the good moments that Larry and John Hamm went back and forth with some of the alternate names. And James, my understanding is that because this came up on the show, you did some research into the Lazy Susan.
Yeah, you know, your boy did a little bit of looking up of things, and I came across some things as well. So I just, you know, in the episode we were, I wouldn't even think that Lazy Susan was a racist and or sexist term. Right. So I looked it up, and I literally Googled, is Lazy Susan offensive? Yeah.
Which I bet there's probably a lot of those searches in the last.
It came up quite
12,
a bit, yeah.
24 hours. Yeah.
So I came across a little snippet of information that you guys can see on your screen now. So it turns out that Lazy Susan has quite a few derivatives. One of which is my least favorite as a waiter. It's called Dumb Waiter. It was called in the past. There's another one called Dumb Silent Waiter. Also called serving a self waiting table, a serviette, or a butler's assistant.
Now, a few of those things, I have heard the term applied to something else. The dumb waiter being like when you put the food and it goes down to another floor.
Yeah, really?
Like down to a kitchen or something. Yeah, it's a pulley system. Yeah. It's like older buildings.
Oh,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
I've only ever seen it in,
movies.
I'm going to assume it's on Downton Abbey. I just haven't ever seen it. I'm just going to bet.
That's the one thing you assume in that show? I think it's a dumb waiter.
The one thing I assume about Downton Abbey is that they have a dumb waiter.
I mean, the only thing I know is that what they called that thing. So we have the Lazy Susan, but then we also had what, the manhole, which is that big, like, construction area.
Yeah.
And I know that they were talking about changing the name of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes a little bit more sense than Lazy Susan.
Far less offensive.
I was, with Lazy Susan, I was more concerned and perplexed about the idea of them having to turn it a certain way.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but why?
Well, I did tell you that that's real. That's,
I have no idea. Yeah.
There's etiquette for turning it the wrong way. Now, you might not get it slapped down, but for those that don't know, my wife is Chinese American. We will go to these big banquets for Chinese New Year. Actually, we had them. Our wedding was Chinese banquet style. So if you spin it the wrong way, like if it's going the other way and Flobo spins it and he takes something, that's going to be okay. But if you're on the other side and you spin it the wrong way, everybody's going to talk about you. They're going to not make sure you're not at their table the next time.
Oh, of course.
Because the food gets placed by a certain person. So it's like, well, now you're the first person. Now you're the first person. But it's like, well, I want to get 8 walnut shrimp, which is usually the way I approach it. I have been the person who has spun it the wrong way. And
live to tell about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you're here.
I think I was silently judged. But yeah, I mean,
is it like a proximity thing? Like, is it okay if someone is next to you spins it the wrong way?
That's what I was saying. That seems to be okay. But it's like if you're skipping like 4 or 5 people so that it can go towards you, the people who are expecting to get the I'll always go with the walnut shrimp, but it's the duck, you know, whatever you want, So there's something to be said for it. Now I think that that's a bigger problem than what to call it. But I did think it was great that Richard Kind's character, that's Cousin Andy, and I don't remember his wife's name, but she was the one who was actually upset by it. And the spinning it back and forth was really the problem.
Michelle, yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. James Maple takes meticulous notes.
Clutch.
Are you the kind of server that takes it on your head or do you write it down?
I write it down. And that's
I always appreciate that.
That's one of my pet peeves, even when I go out to eat as a server myself. Like, I don't care if you know you are that server. And you write it down. Yeah. Because, like, for me as a server, there have been moments where you'll write something down and, like, on your way to the computer system to type it in, you'll be stopped 4 and 5 times. And I'm like, 6 minutes have passed. I didn't remember that you were a vegan and you need this. Yeah. And I'm like, write it down.
Now,
write
to be fair, I only tend to eat at restaurants that have picture placemats with numbers. So if they don't write down that I want the number 3, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, a little bit less intrusive there, but I feel you.
I can't even tell you. I like when I order salads, I like my dressing on the side. Yeah. And I can't even tell you how many times if someone does not write down that I want that a certain way, it ends up with the dressing on the salad.
Will you say, I asked for this on the side? Or
no. I just eat it.
Because
I've been in customer service most of my life, so I'm not that person who's going to be like, no, I'm not eating this.
I wait on those people all the damn time.
I try to be nice and say, I'm sorry, I asked for it on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's appreciated.
And then,
appreciated.
If they get something else wrong, then I throw it against the wall.
Okay, that's not appreciated.
That's second, you get a chance. Second thing I throw against the
wall. Strike 2, you're out.
I'm going to leave it though.
So I thought that it was very funny. And then, of course, Richard's girlfriend didn't want Larry to have the nice chair. Nice chair gets ruined by the sweet and sour sauce. Which I did think was a very funny sequence,
funny.
The way that it hit the chair and just we look at the stain.
And she still kind of looked at his butt, too. Yeah. That was a funny thing. Yeah. For a second, I thought she thought it might have been Larry.
I thought the same thing, too.
And Larry's never that fast. I don't know what kind of supersonic speed he was pulling. Just,
he just saw something bad heading towards him. So he's probably used to things being thrown at him, if I
That is definitely true.
So I thought that was funny. And I did want to go back to Gotta Go for a second, because did anybody think that the guy who ran the newsstand, you know, sort of the way that his story ends, he comes back and, you know, John Hamm has left the newsstand unattended. I don't know how long that guy was in the bathroom, that, you know, all of his magazines were basically pilfered, but do we expect to see him again?
Yes.
I think so.
I think that they're building up a lot of people being angry at Larry who have not been resolved yet, you know, in the course of their individual episodes. Mm.
That felt like a Kirk moment yelling out Khan. So I'm expecting that we will see him back and that there will be some kind of revenge, especially because right around that time we also saw, like, it was literally him saying, Larry!
Yeah.
And then we cut to Cheryl and John Hamm going to Mocha Joe's and passing Latte Larry. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, what is this guy going to do to Latte Larry's?
It's interesting because I didn't see it that way watching it, but why don't you bring it up? Yeah, there are a lot of people out there who have just been spurned and scorned by this guy.
Yeah.
I can't believe the giant angry mob is going to form at the last episode or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, is he just going to use the script from the final episode of Seinfeld?
I'm here for it.
Just bring everybody
it's
back.
Like a new Mustang. It's like an old Mustang. It's all good.
Yeah, let's get some food in jail and watch it.
So at the heart of the episode is, of course, we referenced earlier, Caitlin Olsen is Cheryl's sister. Becky?
Yeah.
Becky.
Yes.
Becky. And I did think that was funny when Larry goes over. At what point did any of you think, oh, okay, so they're obviously going to sleep together? Right when he walked in, or when was it, Rachel?
First of all, it was a throwback to me to the woman who got paid to cry. I was like, okay, is that what Becky's doing here?
That's a good point. Because
which I did think, yeah.
I thought the same thing.
But
yeah, I thought she was
then, I really didn't know until Becky leaned in to kiss him.
Yeah.
And then because they were referencing the crown so many times and Margaret and Elizabeth, I'm like, okay, I understand what's happening here, this competitive element.
Okay.
Yeah, and then of course she tells Cheryl. Because I did like when she comes in, when Cheryl comes in, he's like, who told you that? Becky?
And he's like, well, you got me.
And I don't know. I mean, look, she's an adult. I don't know. Is Larry in the wrong, James? It's his ex-wife's sister. Not his wife's sister. His ex-wife's sister.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's in the wrong. And I think they actually brought that up. And I guess I would pose the same question to you guys in the logic of this scene. You remember where Cheryl, they compare Cheryl dating Ted to Larry dating Becky.
It is a lot different.
I think those are world leagues apart.
Those are very different.
Yeah.
So, and with that said, I definitely think that he was in the wrong. I definitely think Larry was in the wrong.
I think so, too.
I was absolutely shocked, based on what we know from Larry, going to the house he thought it was unclean and unkempt, and having someone, like, wearing, like, tattered clothes, make a move. I was like, oh, he's totally going to push her off.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not pushing her off. Scene's over. Wow. So it's kind of a swerve.
It's the only way to get him to back down from, sort of making a point of, you know, any kind of moral cause. Obviously, he doesn't need the money from this house.
Yeah.
But he's just like, oh, no, I'm going to let you keep the profit, but I'm going to get my investment back. And the only way to get him to back down from something like that is sex.
Yeah, sleeping with him.
I thought it was hilarious. And, you know, when we get to that scene where he's like, well, I thought that two adults consenting to sex, that was fine. Because it's such a callback to what we had earlier in the season with him. Like, I'm just thinking about the moment with the actress named Terry, who he, like, they didn't really do anything, but how they were
Terry Paul.
Terry Paul.
Yeah, she worked at his lawyer's office.
Yeah, and how he was like, taking a video of it, like, is this okay? Yeah. Can we do this?
I'm gonna put my arm around you now. Everyone's consenting by that.
Exactly.
And there's like, is that okay? No, it is not.
Okay. I am pulling my arm away now. Yeah.
So now with Becky, he's just like going for it. So I'm like, okay.
I mean, that kind of says it all. But as we follow that story through, interestingly enough, because Cheryl makes the point, then he's like, how do you know I'm not gonna see her again? And at some point he refers to her as his girlfriend. You're like, all right, you're just really seeing this on through. But could there be a more Larry David moment than when he tries to get the flight?
And there's
13F? Is there anything in first? And then not till tonight? Yeah, that's fine. Look, as someone who exclusively flies first class.
I knew it.
I do understand where he's coming from, but in a situation like that, I think that's when you have. Okay, so not the middle seat, but he could have gotten an aisle or a window on the next flight. I think that would have been. Don't take the middle seat.
Yeah,
but
that is the worst.
You can sit in coach, but nobody. There isn't anybody in your life that's worth sitting in an aisle seat for. Yeah. Let's be honest.
And it's LAX to Denver. It's like a two-hour flight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good point. I didn't think about that.
Deal with it for 2 hours. Yeah. Like that.
She's important, but I'm in the first next class person. The thing is, I feel like in a situation there, I was on board. I was like, oh my God, he must be really into this girl. And then I was like, great. I'm glad that shred of character still left, being like, it's going to be broken tomorrow. I'll wait. You know what I mean? So.
He tries to get out that night. And there's a few things that surround him not making his flight. So we have to start first. Mm-hmm. Jeff in the sweatpants. Once the sweatpants are on,
facts.
He's not going back out.
Facts.
All right. So James is hashtag team sweatpants.
Yeah. So like,
my wife would agree with you, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I call them personally my eating pants. When I put my eating pants on and I'm ready to stretch them out, your boy ain't going nowhere.
I just feel like, oh, the pants are on. Get the food out here.
Hashtag eating pants.
That's what's up.
About that life.
What do you think, Rachel?
I don't know. It depends. Like, I agree with Jeff when he's like, well, what's the emergency?
Yeah, what's the emergency? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It depends.
There's a certain level. There's a certain level. I'm like, okay.
How, I mean, how did they get hit by the car?
Yeah, that's true. Look, I think it's a valid point. Flobo, do you have eating pants?
I don't have eating pants.
Not yet.
I will do it now. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, you got it.
No, but I've been in situations where, like, you come home from a day and you put on like, your house clothes or whatever, or just walk around in your underwear. It's all good. And someone's like, hey, I need your help outside. You're like, does it have to be now? I mean, either work until tomorrow and to stand at a newsstand? I can't knock him. Even though he's staying at his friend's house rent-free, I totally understand being like, I'm not going back outside at a certain point of time.
No, look, I get it. I mean, there's little things that, you know, it's your own personal decision. It's like, I already changed and my phone charger's out in the car. Just turn my phone off.
Yeah. It's fine. Okay.
I'll charge it in the morning.
It's died before.
Stuff like that, it's easy, you know, but then it's like, oh, somebody needs something. Yeah, all right. I guess one of my kids needs medicine.
Or whatever.
Like, way different to be in a newsstand. Right? Way different.
But at the 24-hour Target... Are they gonna care that I'm in my Spider-Man PJ pants? I don't think they are. So I'll just head out. So that was the first thing. So I guess are we all in agreement with Jeff?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, that this emergency didn't warrant it.
Yes.
Because
he
was gonna have to put on clothes and watch a newsstand, which he didn't sign up for, even though he's crashing at Larry's house
for free.
For free.
Yeah.
I'll put it forward.
Yeah, and as Larry's agent, he of course takes a percentage of everything makes. So he's actually stealing money twice from Larry. All right, so we have that, and then John Hamm covers for him. We talked about John Hamm leaving it, but then there's the airport, and I'm not quite sure why Larry even asked the man and the woman if they were together, because it wasn't like the guy went. See, that's what would have made sense in some level, is if the guy went and then it should be Larry's turn, and then he could have been like, oh, are you together? Because then I'll let you go. But I don't know why he asked if they were together. He should have.
I know why.
Okay. No. But, like, why is he in the situation to even ask? Yes, because he saw two African-American people standing next to each other. He's assuming they're together. That part is the mistake. Yeah. But before he even gets to that point, why does he feel like he needs to ask them if they're together?
Okay, from Larry's head, like, so what I'm guessing is that
be careful not to spend too much time.
Yes, I'll try.
Come out.
I'll try.
Wonderland right there.
But
it's like if you try to read the Joker's mind.
I'm done.
Look what happened to poor
Harley Quinn. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to her. In any case, so I'm thinking from his perspective, he thought, okay, well, I want to cut in front of both these people, but maybe I'll let one person go if they're not together, then I'll go.
Okay.
Maybe he was trying in his own way to be a gentleman.
But then,
his girlfriend.
Then he makes the assumption and just perfect storm, perfect Larry moment, because he makes that assumption. The person checking the IDs notices, and that couple seemed very entertained that he was about to be detained.
Did you guys recognize the woman of the couple?
I did not. No.
So it's Tracy Toms. She was she played in the theatric version of Rent.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Did you recognize her face when?
I did not recognize the TSA agent. That's comedian Ryan Davis.
Yeah,
who saw me live and said I was hilarious. So shout out to Ryan Davis. He's amazing. But I thought it was kind of interesting too, because it's supposed to be the comedy of errors. You can't make it to the airport. It was awkward because they thought they were together, but they didn't hit that cliche note of how dare you think. They were playful with it. I thought it was pretty awesome. Like, oh yeah, we're going to Denver. There's a lot of black people there too. Say what's up. I thought it was pretty fun.
No, they weren't outraged as much as they're like, oh, this jerk thought we were together.
Yeah,
let's have fun with this. And it was like, nice to meet you. Yeah, right. They played it up really well.
It was funny, too, when they were like, it's a lot of black people in Denver. Tell them we said hi, because we know them.
By the way, I heard that. I'm like, wait, have they ever been to Denver? I mean, the Broncos, but other than that. And that's, of course, where we get to the situation where he's not able to get to Denver till the next day. What were you going to say, Rachel?
It was hilarious that he was like, because of course I would assume a man with a yarmulke, and like, I forget the other reference he made, but basically somebody
in like a kerchief.
Yeah, like somebody who, like, I would assume they were a couple too.
Yeah, no. Which it's no, like, it doesn't help. I don't know. He usually doesn't do himself much of a service when he does any of that. And of course, the episode does end with, Becky saying to leave the flowers, but take that ugly ass balloon. And then, of course, Larry's like,
verbatim.
You need that jello?
Yeah.
And then he's just like, you know, because here's the thing, though. But didn't he just fly first class? So he clearly ate.
Yeah.
He didn't need that jello.
Ate well at that.
Yeah. If he had flown coach, yeah, there's no jello.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
There's jello. Peanuts. It's like bubble wrap.
No, I'm saying. But he just doesn't need it. He didn't need food.
Yeah, he didn't need it.
All right, so now this brings us to our curb correction corner, which is the moment that we most strongly disagree with Larry or someone else on the show. Rachel, what is your curb correction corner?
Oh, man.
There's a lot to choose from this week.
Yeah, there's so many. I think what I thought was the craziest was the idea that I think Larry should have just let it alone when Richard was talking about the bleeding rectum, because Larry's the one who didn't want Michelle there, so he should have just dealt with the excuse that Richard came up
and
with.
And I did like the callback that he tried to explain to Becky that he has the bleeding rectum. But
that was funny.
Hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
What is your curb correction corner, James?
Mine would be a sub-character of this episode, but it would be with Becky. I was kind of like taken aback when she was genuinely upset when Larry came late. I'm like, yo, though he, you know, he could have come earlier, he could have just sat and coached. He still came to visit you, and like, you guys like hooked up a couple days ago, and he's flying to Denver for you. I thought, I was like, girl, you should like be a little bit more.
Well, I'm gonna leapfrog Flobo, because my curb correction corner is her calling him in the first place. Which,
yeah.
She had the accident. Sure.
Like, yeah. Like, excellent point.
It's like, did they hang out like two times? And like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, that's the person you're going to call? Like, why does she expect Larry to come to Denver?
You know, I think that it boils down to her spite for Cheryl. Because I feel like that was like another like side angle. I'm like, let me get Cheryl like this. Yeah. I want to go sleep with her ex-husband.
Well, Flobo, give us your curb correction corner. And I believe you also have news.
I do. My curb correction corner is definitely the house. I mean, 15 years have passed. I don't know what you're looking for. You don't need the money. I mean, the house is already like, it has some value to it. Let it go. It's a gift.
So Larry doesn't need the money, but what if that was you?
Oh, it was me. I'm totally different.
Okay. And you would have slept with your ex-wife's sister as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Again. I have morals, yeah.
I mean, I only have so many houses to give to people.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Speak for yourself. So, Flobo, what's in the news this week about Curb?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Woo! This week's news comes from the New York Times. Actor J.B. Smooth, who plays Leon, who somehow has an affinity for drinking his own pee in Gatorade bottles, had a profile about how he came to be one of the members of cast members of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Get this. He was actually at a funeral for a friend and got a call from his agent to audition, and that changed his life forever. The actual profile walks him through the downtown jewelry district of how he was has an affinity for pocket watches and all kind of jewelry. So check it out, the New York Times this week, for the article of J.B. Smooth. There it is.
I
do believe it's behind a paywall, though.
It is behind the paywall.
You need to be a subscriber to the New York Times, which, of course, I am. So just DM me for my login.
He owns the New York Times. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, exactly. On your first class flights.
I know.
And I am Lazy Sulzberger here. So thank you to everyone for talking Curb. We will be back next week. We only have two episodes left. Oh, my goodness. But you can guarantee that each of them will start with me wishing a Happy New Year. But until then, Rachel, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on the Stumptown Outlander Retro Anatomy of a Movie panel.
Mm-hmm. And no dumb waiter, but James Maple.
Hey, smart server.
You can find me anywhere and everywhere at Terrell James Maple. Also working on Masked Singer fan theories on Instagram as well. Talking about the Masked Singer. Check it out.
Fan theories?
Masked Singer fan theories.
Damn.
I know that one of them is Flobito.
I can't sing to save my life. There's no way.
Some of them can't sing anyway.
That's true. My name is Flobo Voice. You can follow me at Flobo Voice on Twitter, at Flobito on Instagram, and of course, Flobito.com. New content every week.
New content every week. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And of course, don't forget, we just mentioned shows that I do with other people on this panel. This is the only show I do with James, but we have Over on Popcorn Talk Tuesdays at 3 p.m. We have Retro Anatomy of a Movie. This week, Wednesday at 4, The Trump Report. And, of course, Thursdays, Star Trek Picard, 9 p.m. Marvel Movie News at 1 p.m. Pacific. That's a lot of plugs. That's all the time we have for now. But we appreciate all of you being here. And we'll appreciate seeing you again next week.
Oh, James' mama. How you doing?
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.